Please follow as I read the Word of God for our encouragement. Matthew 18:21-35. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee unto 7 times, but unto 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. For as much as he had not paid, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison, till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Amen. May God bless us in the reading of his most holy and sacred word. Forgiveness is something that the Bible teaches every Christian that we must give. It is not something that you hold back. What exactly is forgiveness? Some people say that it is so easy to forgive, but I can't forget. How can I forget that person who has wounded me so deeply? A couple of days ago, I was listening to BBC and they were interviewing this African lady. She shared how she was raped, abused, and how they killed both her children in front of her before they abused her. Can you ask her to forgive these men who had hurt her so deeply? It's difficult, isn't it, to forgive when the wound is so deep. Can you forgive someone who has betrayed you? You have shared this with this person in deep confidence. And then before you know it, what you have shared had been used against you. And one person whom you thought was a friend now stabbed you in the back. And the person comes up to you and says, please forgive me. And then you have in your heart now this decision to make. To forgive and to forget, or not to forgive. Because it is so hard to forget. Every time you remember, that anger will rise up, that feeling of betrayal and hurt will automatically come up. And this can happen between husbands and wives, no exception. And because of that, husbands and wives do not talk to one another. The ability to forgive very often is for us, for our benefit, for us to understand. Because when you do not forgive someone, you will hold in your heart a burden that will slowly eat and fester in the depth of your very soul. And very soon it will destroy you. And every time you see that person, the feelings that will well up from within you will be something that you do not like to describe. And you will feel awful because it will eat you up, and slowly it can even fester and turn to hatred and perhaps even murder. And all because we refuse to forgive. That's the issue. We refuse to forgive. Because from this parable of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus tells us that every Christian has the power and the ability to forgive. No matter what sin another human being may have done to me, to us, God says we have the power to forgive. It's very difficult to forgive someone. Peter found it very hard, and so he asked the Lord Jesus Christ. After Jesus gave the disciples the instruction on how to deal with sin, deal with a sinner who had sinned. You confront the person, he refuses, you bring witnesses, he refuses, you tell to the church, you bring in the leaders. And then Peter asked Jesus this question, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Is there a limit up to 7 times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee unto 7 times, but unto 70 times 7. That means limitless. He's not asking us to count 490 times. 7 is the complete number. And to be able to forgive someone 7 times was already going beyond what is expected of any ordinary human being. And so Peter thought that this would be the limit. And the Lord Jesus Christ say, no, this is not the limit. You go beyond the limit. You keep on forgiving. If it is the same brother with the same sin and he comes to you and say, I'm sorry, you are to forgive. You have to forgive over and over and over and over again. And then before Peter could even respond to that, Jesus gave us this amazing parable. Do you have in your heart an unforgiving spirit? Someone who might have hurt you very deeply, cheated you of a sum of money, a young boy and a young girl, broken up because the guy likes another girl, the girl likes another guy. You feel very hurt. You feel robbed, especially when you still have feelings for that person. That's why young people don't enter into any relationship if you are not prepared for breakup. Husbands and wives, over something today might be very trivial, but at that point in time, a very big issue. And then you quarreled. And then you do not want to talk to one another. You stumble your own children. And you come to church, you continue to serve, and you put on a facade. An unforgiving spirit. It is a terrible, terrible disease. Sin, in other words, to have an unforgiving spirit. It will eat us up. It will destroy us. What exactly is forgiveness? Forgiveness must always have 2 parts. On the part of the person who had been wronged, you must always be ready to forgive. The readiness to forgive is one side of the coin of forgiveness. On the part of the person who have erred against you, have sinned against you, the person must repent. If the person does not repent, your readiness to forgive that person will not become a reality. Because when you truly have given out forgiveness and the person has received forgiveness, there will immediately be a reconciliation. 2 persons who do not talk to one another now have become friends. Reconciliation. So remember that forgiveness always have 2 sides. The person who has been wronged, ever ready to forgive. So when you look at the person, even though the person may not have come to you, you bear no grudge, no hatred, no anger, no resentment, no ill will, no terrible feelings. You have forgiven. Whatever the problem, whatever the sin might be, that person may have sinned against you. You must not have any resentment, anger, hatred, malice in your heart. Readiness to forgive. You may even have to go and approach that person to deal with the issue. Like the person doesn't want to come and deal with the issue and ask you to forgive. The person to say, I'm very sorry. Please forgive me. In your heart, you must always be ready to forgive. But the other person must repent before the forgiveness becomes a reality. You must understand this biblical definition. There is only one exception where forgiveness was one way. And that was when the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross. When he prayed to the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they have done. Why did Jesus say that prayer? Because it was not the nails that kept him on the cross. It was not the soldiers who put Jesus on the cross. It was your sins and my sins. And because it was your sins and my sins that put Jesus on the cross, then one generation had to be the generation who will hold the hammer and nail the nails. There will be one generation who will be the soldiers who will do all those terrible things to our Savior, to scourge him and to buffer him, to hit him. But it was your sins and my sins that put him on the cross. And it was only for that particular sin, the sin of crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Lord Jesus Christ prayed to the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they have done. That's the only exception. Because if you say that forgiveness is one-sided, then God cannot and should not send anybody to hell. But we know that there will be many who will end up in hell because they refuse to repent, and if they are sin, they refuse to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord God is always ready to forgive. If only sinners would only come to Him. They don't want to come to Him. And because they do not want to come to Him, they did not receive the blessing of His forgiveness, and there will be no reconciliation. They will remain as enemies of God. They will not become friends of God, children of God. But the moment you receive the forgiveness of God, you will become friends of God, children of God. Forgiveness is not sweeping justice under the carpet. Forgiveness is not against or breaking the law of justice. Your forgiveness means that you would take the brunt of that burden of sin onto yourself. For example, if someone slapped you in the face, and the person says, I'm very sorry, and you accept the pain and the humiliation of being slapped on the face, you took it upon yourself to bear the burden of that wrong done to you. You took it upon your own body, and you did not retaliate, and you said, never mind, I forgive you. That means you accepted it yourself. And so when we come to this particular parable, Verse 23-27. We have God's forgiveness. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now, how much is 10,000 talents? 1 talent equals 6,000 denarii. A person who works 1 week earns about 6 denarii a week. That means 1 talent he would require to work 1,000 weeks to pay 1 talent. He works 1,000 weeks of his life to pay 1 talent of debt. Now, if this person owes the Lord 10,000 talents, and then you calculate based upon a person who worked for 70 years of his life. That means the moment he is born into this world, he starts working until he dies at the age of 70. And if he owes a debt of 10,000 talents, earning 6 denarii a week, it will take him 275 lifetimes to pay. In other words, the debt is so enormous that this servant will never be able to pay the debt. That's why the punishment upon him from the Lord was so severe. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold. So sell him as a slave, but when the debt is so large, you're going to sell his wife as well. And when the debt is even larger than large, sell his children as well, and everything that he had, and then ask him to make payment. And it will still not be enough. The servant understood that. And so the servant begged for mercy. You don't want to be sold as a slave in those days. To be a slave means you become like an animal. You have absolutely no right.
And to sell yourself as a slave is one thing. To see your own wife sold as a slave because of your debt, and to see your own children sold as a slave, and to lose everything, is something beyond any human comprehension. To enjoy freedom, to have a family, a loving home, and then suddenly to lose it all, and to enter into a life like that of an animal. He begged. He begged for mercy. Immediately, the Bible said, he fell down. He prostrated to the ground. He worshipped. That means he made obeisance to the Lord and said, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. He begged for mercy, please. Now, when the Lord forgave him, that means the Lord took upon him the loss of that 10,000 talents. He bore the brunt of it. When the Lord Jesus Christ shed his precious blood and God the Father forgave us, he did not break any of his law of justice. Somebody had to be punished to pay the penalty for your sins and my sins. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the penalty for our sins. We sin against God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ was not a bystander. He was the person that we sin against as well. And he took upon himself and became our Savior. He paid a debt that you and I can never pay. You want to pay that debt, you spend eternity in the lake of fire. That's how long a sinner will have to pay the debt of sin against God. Eternity in the lake of fire. You know how long eternity is? Someone described it this way. You get a little woodpecker and start pecking and pecking and pecking on the rock of Gibraltar. And after the woodpecker had pecked away the entire rock of Gibraltar, eternity has not even begun. Imagine, isn't it? Eternity, to take eternity to pay for your sins and my sins, each and every one of us. And God sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins and my sins. A debt that you and I can never pay. The forgiveness that you and I receive from God the Father was paid for it with the priceless, precious blood of our Savior. The blood of the Son of God and the Son of Man. He came down into this world. He walked and lived on this earth, fulfilling all of God's law and requirement on your behalf and on my behalf. And then finally to be betrayed by one of his own disciples and to be mocked and humiliated, when at any time during his entire betrayal up to his crucifixion, he could have easily freed himself and still remain as the perfect Son of God and the Son of Man. But he came to do the Father's will, to die for your sins and my sins. And he allowed himself like a sheep, like a lamb led to the slaughter, not uttering a voice, no sound, allowing sinful men to buffer him, to mock him, to humiliate him, to laugh at him. You call yourself a king? Let us make you a king. And they wove a crown of thorns and they forced it down his head. And when you and I say, I can't forgive because I've been badly humiliated, have your humiliation been worse than the humiliation of your Savior, who was humiliated for your sins and for my sins? And when we hold on to our pride and say, no, my hurt is too deep, I cannot forgive him. Is it deeper than the wound that the Lord Jesus Christ had to bear for your sins and for my sin? Is it deeper than that? The humiliation of the Son of God and the Son of Man. And at any time he had the whole power at his disposal, the power of an almighty God, the almighty God at his disposal, and he just withheld his power and just allowed himself to be whipped, to be scourged, to be publicly humiliated, and they put a scarlet rope on him. You call yourself a king, we'll dress you up as a king. They laugh at him, they spat on him. And we want to talk about my name, my face. The Lord Jesus Christ paid a debt to God that you and I can never pay. Never. This is God's forgiveness, dear friends. And then the parable continues on. Verse 28. The same servant, the Bible made that very clear, the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 pence. Now, how much is 100 pence? Well, 100 pence would be about 14 cents each, 1 pence. So times 100, you come to about US $14. $14. Laid hands on him, took him by the throat. Pay me that thou owest. Did God take this servant, or did his Lord take the servant by the throat? Never, did he? He did not do that. So this same servant who just had his enormous debt wiped clean went to his fellow servant, grabbed him by the throat, and demanded, pay me that thou owest. This fellow servant fell down at his feet, besought him, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Exactly the same words to drive home the point. This person is now begging you for mercy the same way that you had just begged for mercy a moment ago. And he would not, and went and cast him into prison because it's a small little debt, only about $14. So only one man, this servant, not his wife, not his children, only this servant, he put him into prison. For how long? Until he paid the debt. He will remain in prison until the amount of money that he's supposed to pay is paid up. If it's $1 a day, so he will stay 2 weeks in prison, 14 days. And then the other fellow servants realized what this man had done and they reported him to the Lord. Why is it so hard to forgive? Forgive and forget. Psalm 103 verse 12 tells us that God will remove our sins as far as the east is from the west. He will remove our transgressions from us. Jeremiah 31:34 says He will remember our sins no more. What does it mean to forgive and forget? Can a person forgive, truly, sincerely forgive and also forget? Forgetting does not mean erasing it from your memory. When the Bible tells us that God will remember our sin no more in Jeremiah 31:34, it doesn't mean that God has lost some knowledge, some memory. God is immutable. He doesn't change. He doesn't lose knowledge. He doesn't gain knowledge. And so when the Bible says that God will remember our sin no more, what it means is that He will not hold it against us any longer. When your sins and my sins have been washed by the blood of Christ, it doesn't mean that He has forgotten all the sinful things that we have done. He will never lose knowledge. He is immutable. He will always remember. He will not forget. But when the Bible says He will remember our sins no more, that means all the sins that we have committed, washed by the blood of our Savior, He will not hold it against us. That means He will see us as if we have done no wrong any longer. Because all the wrongs that you have done has been washed by the blood of our Savior. And that's exactly what it means when God tells us, my children, you must always learn to forgive and also to forget all who have sinned against you. It doesn't mean that you eradicate it from your memory. You know how hard it is for this African lady to forgive the man who have killed her two children right in front of her eyes? She will remember this image for the rest of her life on earth. What it means is that she must not hold it against these people. She must, if she's a believer, she must not have this bitterness, this anger, and this hatred toward these people. That's what it means, to forgive and to forget. Husbands and wives, it is a very sad thing when both parties refuse to say sorry. Who should say sorry? The husband, because you are the head. You are supposed to be the more spiritual of the two. You must always make the first move if there is a strained relationship between you and your wife. You must make the first move. Why? Simply because you are a Christian. You have experienced the forgiveness from God Himself through the blood of our Savior. You must learn to forgive your wife. But I'm right. Yes, you may be right. You think you're right. Your wife thinks you're right. That's how people don't want to say sorry, isn't it? Wife thinks he's right, husband thinks he's right, both parties think they're right, in fact, both are wrong. Both are wrong. Look at the relationship, both of you are right. I was counseling a couple on the verge of divorce. So I sat there in the conference room, and I sat there and both of them were screaming and shouting at one another. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and I just sat there and let them scream and shout. Both of them were claiming, I'm right, you're right, I'm right, you're right, I'm right. Then I said, excuse me, you look at the two of you. Both of you are right. Very well. Both of you are right, let's say. Both of you are right. You look at your marriage. You're on the verge of getting a divorce, and all you care about is, I'm right, I'm right, you are right, you are right. You are wrong, I'm right. What is the point of being right when your whole marriage is falling apart? What is the point? In any disagreement, you realize that both are usually wrong. It's a matter of percentage, isn't it? Especially in a husband-wife relationship. Both of you need to say, I'm sorry. You made the vow to death do us part, to remain married together in sickness and in health. And the Bible says, learn to love one another, even as Christ loved us. And He is teaching general Christians. And now you have a husband and wife relationship. You cannot love one another enough to swallow your pride. And just say, I am very sorry. Work at that relationship. Learn to forgive one another, because you do not know the blessing that comes with a heart that is able to forgive any sin. It is not for the other person's benefit. Primarily, it's for your benefit. Do you know that? If you don't forgive people, you hold it in your heart, it's going to eat you up, it's going to kill you, it's going to destroy you, and it's going to make you a very bitter person. You can't teach properly, you can't preach properly certain passages of the Bible you know you have to avoid because you have disqualified yourself. You can't forgive. Please understand, when Jesus talks about forgiveness, He meant it. In the Lord's Prayer, there are many aspects of the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? In Matthew 6. But at the end of the Lord's Prayer, the Lord Jesus Christ added two additional verses to comment on the Lord's Prayer, where He said, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." That's why the topic is to forgive, is to be forgiven. If you and I truly have received the forgiveness from God, to be forgiven by God Himself, then you must forgive anyone and everyone who has hurt you, no matter how deep the wound. And that's why Jesus says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." Anybody can love and forgive beautiful people. But can you truly love and forgive even your enemies? Those who have hurt you and wounded you so deeply. And in life, we are going to come across such people. We are going to meet people in schools who are like that. We are going to meet people in our workplaces who will be like that. And that's when you must shine for the Lord Jesus Christ, learning to forgive. Why? The basis is not whether the person has forgiven you or not in the past. Even a person may not have, you must learn to forgive simply because you have been forgiven by God through Christ Jesus. And when you say that I cannot forgive, the rest of this parable gives us a very frightening warning, where He says in verse 32, "Then his Lord after that, he had called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that he was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." Everyone, without exception, his trespasses. No exception. You must forgive. Do you know why you must forgive? Because you have received forgiveness from God through the Lord Jesus Christ. If someone kills your son, hurts your daughter, whatever it is, you must do forgive. Because there is and must never be anyone or anything on earth that must be more precious to you than the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means to forgive. If you say that I cannot forgive that person because he has robbed me of $1 million, then you are saying that $1 million is more important to you than the blood of Christ. That's what it means. The debt that anybody owes you is like that $14. The blood of Christ is the debt that you owe. That was the price that was paid in order for your debt and my debt of sin to be cleansed and to be wiped clean. That was the price, the blood of our Savior. Can anything on this earth be ever, ever compared to the blood of our Savior? Not even the blood of your son. Not even the blood of Isaac to Abraham. You must understand there's nothing on this earth that must be more precious to you and to me than the blood of our Savior. Because that was what it cost God in order for your sins and my sins to be forgiven. And if you truly from your heart have received the forgiveness of God, you have truly understood what it means to have our sins forgiven. Because all of us are chiefs of sinners. Not just the Apostle Paul, all of us are chiefs of sinners. We must learn to forgive. Bottom line is our pride. Bottom line is that we defend our own name more than we defend the name of Christ. That's our problem, isn't it? Now, please understand that in Matthew, just a moment ago, when I read Matthew chapter 5 about love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and so on, this does not in any way contradict what the Bible teaches us in Psalm 139. Okay, in Psalm 139, it teaches us the big difference where David says, I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Now, please note the big, big difference between what Psalm 139 teaches us concerning the emotion of hatred and the emotion called forgiveness in Matthew chapter 5. Okay? To love our enemies, to bless them that curse us, do good to them that hate us, and pray for them that despitefully use us and persecute us. In Matthew 5, that is personal. Because when other people hurt my person, hurt me, Jesus says, turn the other cheek. Go the second mile. Forgive them, because the hurt is on me. If they hurt my name, never mind. If they hurt my body, never mind. God says, you forgive them. But in Psalm 139, it is not hurting your name. It is not personal. It is what the Bible here says, surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee, that is God, wickedly, and thy enemies take thy name in vain. So when people attack God, when people distort the name of Christ, when people attack the word of God, it is not your person that is being attacked. You cannot say, never mind, I forgive you. You are not God. It is not your word that has been attacked, that has been distorted. It is the word of God that is able to give a person eternal life. But when it is distorted, a person may believe in a wrong Christ and thinks that he is saved, but end up in hell. Such people, the emotion that you must have is not forgiveness, because it's not up to you to forgive. It's only up to God to forgive, and God will forgive them if they repent of their sin and stop attacking God and His Word. Please know the difference. Anything that is personal, your name, my body, your body, when these come under attack, God says, forgive. But when they attack God's Word, it is not your Word, it is God's Word, only one person can forgive them, and that is God Himself. Because it is God's word that they have attacked. And that's why David says, search me, O God, and know my heart. If there be any wicked way in me, lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139. So he asked God, Lord, you search my heart. I hate them with perfect hatred. That means it is not personal. I'm very angry with these people because they attack your word. They are distorting the name of Christ. And he was very angry, because when the word of God is distorted and we do nothing about it, and we let our own children be told that the Bible has mistakes, Jesus Christ is not fully God, he is half God, you must be angry, because they are leading our people in a path of destruction and delusion. But when they attack your name, my name is personal, you forgive. Don't confuse the two. Have the right kind of emotions for the right issue, over the right issue. Please forgive anyone and everyone who hurts us personally. Why? because you and I have received and experienced the forgiveness of God. Forgiveness is wonderful. On a cold winter evening, a man suffered a serious heart attack, and after being admitted to the hospital, asked the nurse to call his daughter. He explained, "You see, I live alone and she is the only family I have." The nurse went to phone the daughter. The daughter was quite upset and shouted, "You must not let him die. You see, Dad and I had a terrible argument almost a year ago. I haven't seen him since. All these months I have wanted to go to him for forgiveness. The last thing I said to him was, 'I hate you.'" The daughter cried and then said, "I'm coming now. I'll be there in 30 minutes. The patient went into cardiac arrest, and code 99 was alerted. The nurse prayed, "Oh God, his daughter is coming. Don't let it end this way." The efforts of the medical team to revive the patient were fruitless. The nurse observed one of the doctors talking to the daughter outside the room. She could see the pathetic hurt in her face. The nurse took the daughter aside and said, "I'm sorry." The daughter responded, "I never hated him, you know. I loved him, and now I want to go see him." The nurse took her to the room, and the daughter went to the bed and buried her face in the sheets as she said goodbye to her deceased father. The nurse, as she tried not to look at his sad goodbye, noticed a scrap of paper on the bed table. She picked it up and read, "My dearest Janie, I forgive you. I pray you will also forgive me. I know that you love me. I love you too. Signed, Daddy." It's a terrible, terrible thing, isn't it, to hold in your heart an unforgiving spirit. All the more so when this person has left the world. And you hold on to this unforgiving spirit when the person is just right next to you. And you just simply would not go to that person and make right the relationship. Why? Because of pride. Isn't it? Because of pride. The hurt is too deep. You can't let go. On February 9, 1960, Adolf Kors III was kidnapped and held for ransom. 7 months later, his body was found on a remote hillside. You know who is Adolf Kors? The guy who founded Kors Beer. He had been shot to death. Adolf Kors IV, the son, then 15 years old, lost not only his father but his best friend. For years, young Kors hated Joseph Korbet, the man who was sentenced to life for the slaying. Then in 1975, Adolf Kors IV became a Christian. While he divested himself of his interest in the family beer business, that means he didn't want to have anything to do with the family's beer business, he could not divest himself of the hatred that consumed him. Resentment seethed within him and blighted his growth in faith. His faith could not grow. Every time he thinks of this man, he just could not let go. The immense hatred welled from within his heart. He prayed to God for help because he realized how his hatred for Corbett was alienating him from God and other persons. The day came, however, when claiming the Spirit's presence, Adolf Kors visited the maximum security unit of Colorado's Cannon City Penitentiary and tried to talk with Corbett. Corbett refused to see him. Kors left a Bible inscribed with this message, "I'm here to see you today and I'm sorry that we could not meet. As a Christian, I am summoned by my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to forgive you. I do forgive you, and I ask you to forgive me for the hatred I've held in my heart for you." Later, Adolf Kors confessed, "I have a love for that man that only Jesus Christ could have put in my heart." When you are able to forgive anyone and everyone, that is the real testimony of what the Bible says in Romans 5:5, that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The ability to forgive anyone and everyone is because of the love of Christ. The love that you and I have embraced when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and us as our Savior. To forgive, dear friends, is to be forgiven. If we say that we are Christians, we have truly been forgiven by God because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Forgive one another for Jesus' sake. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, teach us, O Lord, to forgive one another. We pray, O Lord, for every husband and wife
who may have hurt one another and refuse to forgive one another. Every friend, every brother and brother, brother and sister, help us, Lord, to learn to forgive, because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has forgiven me. Has forgiven me, O Lord, with His own precious blood, and how He died for me, a debt that I can never pay. And I pray, O Lord, that You will help us, constrained by the love of our Savior, to forgive even our enemies, those who despitefully persecute us and use us. And may the love of Christ constrain us and deliver us from hate, from anger, from resentment, from malice. O Lord, may Thou hear our humble cry. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.